Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode...
Yeah. And I think rather than go into people-pleasing and just excusing it and whatever, I think that's the time to say, you know, sweetie, I think we really need to look at how we each see money and how we're going to negotiate our differences around finances if we get married.
With anxiety, it's so important to find the underlying cause. What is causing your anxiety? Hello, lovely people, and welcome to episode 27 of the Rewilded Human Podcast. I'm with my beautiful and brilliant co-host, Dr. Lucille. And today we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of your most intimate and most interesting questions that you have for us. Keep sending them to us, guys. We love hearing from you, and I'm going to jump right in. The first question is from Irene, who is frustrated by a problem that won't go away. It seems like I've been scared and anxious all my life. I've tried everything, diets, supplements, exercise, therapies of all sorts. I get minor relief for a while, but then it comes back full force. The one thing I won't do is take meds. Anything else you can suggest? Anxiety.
I have a number of clients who've come to me with this problem. I'm sure, Lynn, you have had people in your life that have this issue. I think you need to be really humble when you're going through this and say to yourself, I've tried everything I know about, but maybe there are some things I don't know about. So rather than say, I have tried everything, you might want to just be honest and say, well, I've tried everything I know about, and then say and ask yourself, well, but what am I missing? Now, here's something I like have run into a lot of. You can usually find things that will help lifelong anxiety. You can. But what people who are running into a problem, finding those remedies, they're usually not effective. Those remedies are not effective because people have a block in their mindset. Especially what I find with anxious people, and you tell me, Lynn, if you've noticed this too, what anxious people will do is they'll try an herbal supplement for like 2 or 3 days. Doesn't work. And then they're off to the next thing. Oh, wait a minute. And it, you know, I took it like 5 hours ago. I'm still not feeling anything. Okay, that doesn't work. And then, this friend told me that this therapist is excellent, so I'm going to drop my other therapist and go to this therapist. And it's like they're totally scattered. They don't try things for long enough.
So
they can't really give an appraisal, an objective appraisal of what works and what doesn't, because they've never tried anything for long enough for it to work.
And I think a big issue is, you know, first of all, people want instant gratification right away.
And
people are used to medications, even though Irene says she doesn't want to take meds, which is fair enough. But, you know, with medications, it's like I have a headache, I take this medication, it's gone. So that's what people want. And with herbal supplements, natural supplements, it doesn't actually work like that. And people don't understand that because they're so used to taking medications. So, you know, if they take something and they don't get the instant result that they want, oh, it doesn't work. Natural therapies don't work. And they do work, you know, and same with like acupuncture or any of the natural therapies that you might be trying, reflexology, anything, it's going to take time with herbal supplements, with vitamins. So this is such a good point, Lucille. I didn't even think of this when I was reading this question, but this is so, so important that anything natural is going to take time. And also with anxiety, it's so important to find the underlying cause. What is causing your anxiety? Of course, the number one thing that always pops into my head when I hear anxiety, you know what it's going to be? Coffee, right? Coffee and caffeine, which is, I think, the biggest trigger for most people. And you can easily eliminate anxiety just by stopping it, because I'm an example of this. It actually worked for me 100%. So that's the number one thing. So if, for example, coffee is the underlying cause that is causing your anxiety or making it so much worse, until you stop the coffee, you can take all the supplements, you can get all the therapies, you can do anything you want, try to meditate. you're poisoning yourself with the coffee every single day. So your anxiety is not going to stop, right? So I think it's really, really important to find out what the cause is. And it could be, you know, it could be food coloring, it could be a lot of different things. It could be food allergies. It can be so many things that are causing this. It could be your home environment, your work environment, the people that you're around. It could be the Wi-Fi. A lot of people are sensitive to Wi-Fi and different kinds of radiations that can cause these kinds of symptoms. It could be a hormonal imbalance, which a lot of women, you know, going through menopause will experience anxiety, which is really disheartening, and you don't know how to deal with. So there are so many things going on. And when you're anxious, like you said, you know, people get frantic and it becomes very difficult to look for a solution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I totally agree with everything you've said. And another thing that I've run into is the mindset of I'm an anxious person. In other words, I identify so strongly with this thing. It's not that I have a problem with being anxious. It's I am an anxious person. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people get invested in being that without mm-hmm. realizing that they're doing it, right?
Yes.
And it can bring them a lot of reward. You know, they call it secondary gain, which is, for example, you get more attention. If you're an anxious person, you have lots of people coming to you wanting to know how you're doing and being solicitous and, you know, trying to, you know, help you in various ways. And it helps to get out of things, you know. Well, I'm panicky today, Aunt Gertrude, so I'm not going to come to your family barbecue. I'm sorry. I'm having a panic attack, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not necessarily saying, Irene, that's you know, what's happening with you. I'm just saying in the general run of chronic mental symptoms, the people who do better and eventually get free of them are the people who do exactly what Lynn just said, you know, get to the root cause, and they're not invested in the identity mm-hmm. of being an anxious person.
Yeah.
It's like it's a problem, and they just want to get rid of it. And they know that deep down they're not meant to be living like this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like when people put on their bio, they list all their medical conditions and it's like anxiety. Like it's you identify so much with this that you have to list it in your bio on Instagram.
Yeah. It's, right.
You know, I'm not saying you're doing this, Irene, but Lucille has a very good point. So you are not an anxious person, you are someone that occasionally experiences anxiety, but there's mm-hmm. a big difference between mm-hmm. having that as your main identity.
Right.
But then, you know, some other things, I want to talk to you, Lucille, about medication. I want to ask you about that. Just going through the natural therapies, I mean, there's, you know, you said you've tried everything, the diet, exercise, and, you know, like exercise is super helpful for anxiety, depression, all of these things. But it is, again, what kind of exercise are you doing? Is it the right type of exercise?
Exactly.
Are you exercising inside a toxic gym with neon lights and, you know, toxic air and everything? Or are you exercising outside by a flowing river in the green with your feet grounded on the floor and with the sunshine, you know, bathing in sunshine at the same time without any toxic sunscreen? Is that how you're exercising? Because there are different forms of exercise. Sometimes exercise can cause more anxiety and more stress to your body. Are you doing spinning classes, right? Like, what are you doing? The sun, grounding, nature, all of those things are super calming to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. Are you sleeping properly? You know, are you getting off your devices? Are you using a blue blocker at night? Are you turning off the Wi-Fi router? Or is it frying your brain all night? Do you have your phone next to you? All of these things will just overstimulate your nervous system and make your symptoms so much worse. So those mm-hmm. things need to be addressed. Coffee definitely needs to go. Anything with caffeine needs to go for anyone with anxiety. But what I wanted to ask you, Lucille, about the medications. So is there a time when nothing else works and medications are the only way forward? I know you're a holistic psychiatrist, so I'd be curious to see.
If the person is really finding it intolerable with the anxiety symptoms and they're still willing to do all the investigations mm-hmm. that they need to get to the root cause, then that may be a time to just go on medications and just help the person take the edge off of their symptoms. It may not completely get rid of the symptoms, For some people it works amazingly. Some medications do work amazingly for them. Often they don't, they only work partially sometimes, and you have to you have to do it by trial and error. Some medications don't work, so you have to try something else, and you have to be patient while you're trying something else, and then, and on it goes. So taking medication, I think, has a place for some people where, they are just crawling out of their skin, and in order for them to take better care of themselves, they at least need some medication to help them tolerate
Yeah,
all of the anxiety, or at least to
that
help
makes
it
sense.
to reduce, so that they can, go to the next step and go to the next naturopath and do whatever they need to do, and examine their supplements and examine their what their diet is and their exercise and all of that. I always say, okay, then if you need it, you need it. There's no shame in that. If it's practically beneficial for you, do it. But at the same time, keep focusing on how else you can ameliorate the whole situation. What else can you do?
That's a great
So,
suggestion. Lucille, do you find that a lot of times people who suffer from anxiety will also do things that feed their anxiety? Like they will watch like horror movies and, what I mean, do
Absolutely.
activities that
Oh, yeah.
actually fuel the
Yes.
anxiety rather than doing calming things that would have the opposite effect. So I think that's probably something to look into as well.
Absolutely. And it seems really counterintuitive, that people would do that. Certainly people will do that, and there it's a very complicated reason as to why people do that. It is a thing, and if you are doing it, you really have to wean yourself off it. It's kind of like you tune into a murder mystery, right? And you because you're hooked, your brain is hooked. And people, the writers of these mystery TV shows and things like that, thrillers and all of that, they know how to hook people, right? So, for example, you're anxious, but oh, I have to find out who done it. I have to find out who done it. And it gives them a bit of a relief at the end when, oh, phew, we found out who done it. It's like it gives them a little bit of a boost of dopamine, which makes them feel, but you're right. In the long run, it just feeds into the anxiety problem.
Well, Irene, we hope that some of our tips will help you, that you're feeling better soon. There is a solution to every problem. I truly believe that. So don't give up, be consistent, keep trying. Go see, a natural practitioner, holistic doctor, holistic psychiatrist like Lucille, someone that can help you deal with this. And we wish you the best of luck.
Yes, we do. Yeah. All right. So we have Helen, who has an issue that's not uncommon among wives. My husband is so stingy. He questions everything I buy to the last penny. If I buy a dress, I have to sneak it into the house. And when he asks about it, I pretend that I've had it for a long time. It's driving me crazy. What can I do?
Find a new husband.
There we go. That's it. Period. End of
Done.
story.
Next question. Oh, Helen, I know women like you. That is, it's just so sad that you have to do that. I mean, you are not a child. Your husband is not your keeper. You're earning your own money, or if not, you are doing your share in the household and everything. So I don't understand how adults can be treated like this, and that people would put up with this. I cannot even imagine having to answer to my husband about what I'm spending or what I'm buying or sneaking stuff into the house so he doesn't see it. I mean, you go through that as a teenager when you're a child. There's no excuse for this. What can Helen do?
That's a tricky thing. Usually, for this to be really effective, you have to start talking to your potential partner before you get married.
Yes,
And we
we
don't
always
want
say this, like, finances are so important and they can make or
important.
break a relationship. How do you not talk about this before you get married? That, and don't you know that he's a stingy person before you marry him?
Exactly. Like, you go out on a date and he's always forgetting his wallet at home.
Yeah. Red flag. Run, ladies, run. When you
Red
see that,
flag.
run. Oh my
Right.
God.
Right. Or he doesn't want to go out to eat. He'd rather stay at home and you make the dinner so that you can say, I leave,
Buy the ingredients and make the
I mean, you've seen signs of it. I think Lynn is absolutely right with that, that he will give off that vibe right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I think rather than go into people pleasing and just excusing it and whatever, I think that's the time to say, you know, sweetie, I think we really need to look at how we each see money and how we're going to negotiate our differences around finances if we get married. We really need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so it's easy for us to say that now in retrospect, but what are you going to do in this moment? First of all, I would suggest that, you know, if you've, and Lynn has made a really good point on this, you're being treated and you're allowing yourself really, and I'm sorry to say this, but you're allowing yourself, Helen, to be treated like a child.
Yeah.
And so what's that all about? You may need to look at yourself and say, well, you know, why am I allowing this to happen? I'm a full-fledged adult woman. As Lynn said, it's perfectly valid point. If you're not making your own money and you're relying on your husband's income, you're still contributing to the household in whatever way you do. And so you are entitled to part of his money. He has to support you in some way. So I think you need to really think about what's your entitlement. Are you feeling worthy of having money of your own, even if it comes from him as like a kind of, I don't know, allowance? I don't know. I hate that, but it's still a childlike thing, right? But you are an adult and you deserve money of your own. And I would say to you, you really have to buck up your own self-confidence and your own sense of entitlement. This would then be the time if you, you know, obviously you didn't do it earlier, but then it, this is now the opportunity to talk to him about it and say, honey, I'm not 5 years old anymore.
Exactly. No. Or maybe come to some kind of compromise, you know, like, for example, like, okay, I'm going to take, say, $500 every month and spend it on whatever I want. And you take $500 and spend it on whatever you want, you know, excluding escorts or whatever, but right, but you know what I mean, like to have some kind of compromise.
This guy is going to want to pay for escorts.
Yeah, he probably won't. That's, well, at least you know what, Helen, you know your husband's not going to be going to escorts or strip joints because they're not going to spend the money on that. So you know, you gotta be really thankful for your blessings. Look at the bright side of things. That is actually very true. So make some kind of compromise where you must have a certain amount of money that you can spend on whatever you want and not have to answer to anyone. I mean, I don't know what your financial situation is like. If you guys are, you know, you could be, I mean, it usually doesn't make a difference. They could have millions. And when someone's like that and they're cheap, then it doesn't matter. They just want to, you know, hold on to every single penny, which is not a good situation because the energy of money needs to flow. Maybe explain this to your husband. We have previous episodes where we talked about this, about, you know, the energy of money, and it needs to be flowing all the time to attract more money to you. And for that reason, you need to spend money. And that's my, you know, that's my theory and I'm sticking to it. But I never feel guilty about buying nice things for myself or spending money on things that make me happy, because that's what money's for. And ultimately, money is just energy. So Helen, your husband has a very unhealthy relationship with money, because you know, if you're buying those pretty dresses and they make you feel good and they make you feel amazing, then that's exactly what it's for. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you guys still have food to put on the table and you're paying your mortgage or whatever, then the rest is to be enjoyed.
Absolutely, totally agree. So I think you're gonna have some interesting, hopefully have some interesting conversations with your husband coming up soon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Totally support you, Helen. Totally.
We support you, Helen. Go buy the nice stuff for yourself, definitely.
Yes. Jane is burdened by the wrong kind of help. I'm going through a really painful divorce. My friends and family keep telling me I should just move on. Thank my lucky stars that it's over, and they've even suggested they could set me up with eligible men. I don't regret ending the marriage, but still, I was with this man for over 30 years and we raised 3 children together. I'm finding it hard to just move on. Is there something wrong with me?
Oh, bless your heart, Jane. I mean, absolutely nothing's wrong with you. You know, a divorce, they say, is often more painful than dealing with the death of someone. Is that correct, Lucille?
Yeah. Yeah, it can be, absolutely.
It can be. So, I mean, it's especially after 30 years and 3 children, you definitely need your time to grieve. And you're entitled to that. People that are saying these things to your friends and your family, get over it and move on. I mean, that's easy. That's really easy to say when you're not in that situation, right? And as far as setting you up, if you're not ready to date and meet someone else, and you really shouldn't be doing that until you have healed properly, because it's not fair to you. It's not fair to the next person coming along. It's not just like about jumping back on the horse. I mean, you're talking about 30 years here. You're not talking about a 3-month relationship or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and it brings up a really good point too, Lynn, which is divorce is different for different people. If you were only married for 2 years, okay, that's different from a whole 30-year relationship with all the ups and downs of marriage and having children and all of that. It's very, very different. And some people are in that position where even if it's been a long marriage, they are ecstatic at the thought of being free. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people have, you know, especially if you've done your grieving before you say it's over and you've really reflected on it and you really are yearning for that freedom to just go out and have your own life, then yeah, it's easier to move on. But I don't think that we should paint everybody with the same brush and say, this is how you should be feeling when you're divorcing, and this is not how you should be feeling. Everybody's different.
Absolutely.
And so I would just say to you, Jane, if you're not ready, if you emotionally you need to do more work on yourself or you need to spend more time grieving, take that time. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying. I agree with Lynn. They're not in your shoes. They don't know what it's like. And I would just say, support yourself, be your own best friend in this. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with how you're doing it.
Maybe a support group of, you know, other divorced ladies that would understand that are going through something similar. It would be very supportive for you to find a group like that. You can find groups like this on Facebook or maybe in your area and make some friends that will understand and support you. Because it's a very, very difficult journey. And, you know, it's going to take a long time. You need to go through the birthdays, the Christmases, and all of those things.
Right.
Alone. Yeah. And they say you need to go through them at least once, like, so at least a full year to accept. And you go through the different stages of grief during divorce as well, just like during death. Yeah. So you need to get to the acceptance point where you're like, okay, I've made peace with this and I'm ready to move on. And that only comes when you're ready. Like nobody else can tell you how to do that. But thank you very much for the question, Jane. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we do wish you all the best.
All the best. Yeah.
And that brings us to Barbara's attempts to get support backfired. I've been going through a hard time with my in-laws. And we get a lot of in-law questions, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And I've been confiding in my best friend about it. Unbeknownst to me, she shared what told her. Hold on. Unbeknownst to me, she shared what I told her with another friend, and somehow it got back to my mother-in-law. I'm now being treated like a criminal by my in-laws, and they won't talk to me. My husband wants nothing to do with this. Typical, right? If it wasn't for the fact that my kids need to see their grandparents, I'd be fine with having nothing to do with them. But everything's so awkward and uncomfortable now. What can I do to repair it? So she was speaking to her best friend badly behind their backs of the in-laws, and he got back to them, right? That's basically it. Awkward.
I really feel for you. Oh, my dear.
Apologize. All you can do is, you know.
Apologize, yeah. I think there's, it makes it a little bit easier in that you don't really need their approval per se. It sounds from your question that you don't really need them in your life. You don't really need their approval. It's just that you have to tolerate them because you've got children, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would just suggest is, okay, just keep that as uppermost in your mind. That's your purpose in having anything to do with them. And I agree with Lynn. Just go and say, you know, I'm very sorry that this happened.
Don't get into long explanations. I apologize. Yeah. It won't happen again.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. And you can make a statement like, I understand how you feel, but I'm very sorry you're feeling that way. But, you know, yes, you don't have to go into a big courtroom drama about what happened. Now, I don't know your in-laws. I don't know how they would react if you try to apologize, but I guess that's your only route. You really can't, there's nothing else you can do. And, obviously your husband thinks that burying his head in the sand like an ostrich
Very
is
typical, very typical. They don't, they
strategy.
never want to get between like the wife and
Yes,
the
yes,
in-laws.
yes.
And that I can kind of understand. I'm actually more concerned about her best friend. I mean, what kind of a best
I
friend
think that's
would you
another,
date like
that's
that?
another issue. It's kind of like you've got two conversations ahead of you if you want to, which is like, what was she thinking? Now, it is your, I guess in some ways, we trust that our best friends have the judgment not to just spill all of our private stuff to other people. We trust. So I don't think you necessarily have to always have this, statement ahead of every conversation. Please, I do not want this to go any further than this room. I don't think you need to do that. I don't think it was your responsibility necessarily to spell it out like that.
Course.
So I do think it's the friend's responsibility if she is willing to apologize to you and explain why she did that. Because I think there's something going on there that really needs to be looked at because she's broken trust now, and that's another relationship that's, I'm
Like,
sure,
how do you
quite
trust
awkward.
someone? You know, like, how would you trust someone after
That's
that?
right.
Because especially like
Right.
stirring things up so much, especially with your in-laws. I mean, that is just a sensitive. It's not like another friend. Not that that would be an excuse, but I mean, with your in-laws, why would you want to destroy the relationship? You know, especially with children involved and everything. I mean, that's just, people are
Yeah.
crazy. What is wrong with me? You need a new best friend, Barbara. Sorry to say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That
Yeah.
is
Yeah.
not cool.
Right. So, as I say, it's best it's in terms of your in-laws, it's great that you don't really need them in your life. You don't emotionally need anything from them. So, at least you can go and do something, a matter of fact kind of attempt at repair. But I think it's almost worse. As Lynn suggested, it's worse because your best friend betrayed you. That's the worst part of it. Yeah.
I agree. I agree. Absolutely. So, best of luck to you, Barbara.
Yes. That wraps it up for this episode. And we thank you all so much. Thank you, all of you who've brought us your questions. Please remember to like, comment, subscribe, and share if you feel like it. And so that we can continue with this podcast, which Lynn and I love to do.
Absolutely.
So we will see you in the next episode. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
And you have,
guys.
see
Take
you.
care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.